Amen. Amen. You can remain standing as you make your way back to your seats. And what a great spirit of expectation that has been here. And camp goes by too fast. Too fast. God has been doing something special here. Just had such a wonderful time spending time with every one of you, and excited about tonight. Get to spend time with you tonight. My son James Asher is gonna be balling with some of y'all, so I think it's the campers versus staff basketball game tonight, so I'm definitely going to be a part of that as well. So excited about that. Amen. Amen. You guys broke me in. My body is very sore. I like sit down just very slowly, just like. But we're going to have a good time. Appreciate all the volunteers, all the staff, those that have been working hard behind the scenes, the music team, the worship team, these wonderful sectional directors and youth team. Can you give them all a hand clap of appreciation? Amen. A lot of hard work that goes into camp. A lot of invested lives, and I give honor to them for that, the media team, the sound team. Once again, I reiterate honoring your leadership, Brother Davidson and Brother Roberts. What an incredible message we heard this morning. Amen. Amen. I appreciate so much my elders and apostolic pillars and my peers just following God the way that they are. It's something refreshing. For the last time I was at this camp was 2015. And for me to come to 2019 camp and see many of the same faces, I'm telling you what, God smiles upon that type of faithfulness and consistency. Amen. Amen. Why don't we open up our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. Thank you so much for the kindness and hospitality, the gift basket. Somebody did a background check on me. There was a lot of fruit snacks and gummies in there. And so I just believe in that. Amen. I believe in fruit snacks. You're never too old to eat gummies. Amen. Amen. I will defend that truth until the day I die. I just will do that. Amen. And so I try to tell them, yeah, put some gummies in the basket, you know, and I try to kind of allude that it's kind of mostly for my son. Well, the truth of the matter is we're wrestling on the hotel bed for those gummies. Hallelujah. We're going at it. We're fighting over the last gummy in the Jackson household. Amen. And I give honor to my beautiful wife, Louisa, and my son, James Asher. Such a privilege to get to travel with them. Amen. Tomorrow I may have my son come and say something and come and testify a little bit. Amen. Amen. He's looking at me right now like, I'm ready, Dad. I'm ready, Dad. But just hold on, son. Tomorrow. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. It says, for this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go and possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The Lord spoke to me very clearly tonight on what to minister to you about, and just everything that has gone on with this service with Sister Ray and Sister Hutto, and just the vein of the Spirit in this hour. I want to preach to you on this subject tonight. It's really going to be a talk, I believe, but it's going to be just as powerful as anything that I've said this week. I want to talk about the treasure of endurance. The treasure of endurance. Why don't you lay your Bibles down and lift up your hands? Let's ask God to say and do what he wants to do. Lord Jesus, these young people have been hungry for you. They have been thirsty for you, God. They have been sincere. It is their pull on heaven that has put this word in my spirit tonight. It is their hunger, their thirst, their willingness to linger in your presence that has put this word into my spirit tonight. And God, I ask that it would meet needs in your people. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. All throughout the first five books of the Bible, Moses continually emphasizes the principle and the blessing of longevity. Moses reiterates to us in all the scripture that he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that the greatest blessing that God could put upon an individual is the blessing of longevity. To do something for a long time. Not a flash in the pan, not a shining moment, but to do something for God well, not just for days, but for decades. There's a blessing in that. That's why we honor the silver hairs of our elders, because they have committed themselves to something for a long time. And that is worthy to be honored. The blessing of longevity. And Moses also reiterates that the greatest curse that could be put upon your life is the lack of longevity. The greatest curse from God upon an individual is for you to diminish quickly from doing what you are called to do. Moses said it in Deuteronomy. He said, look, Israelites, you've been rebellious since you came out of Egypt. He said, you've been backslid. You've rebelled me. You've been stiff-necked. You've been hard-hearted. Look what he said. But when you possess the promised land. Moses said, the righteous and the unrighteous possess the land. Are you hearing me right now? The righteous and the unrighteous are going to inherit the good land of the Lord. So those that possess the land does not determine who is right with God. All of us here tonight are going to possess the land. The righteous and the unrighteous will possess the land. That doesn't determine who's right with the Lord. But he said, but if you hearken to my voice, he said, you will prolong your days in the land. But if you do not listen to my voice, you will diminish quickly off the land. So it's not who possesses the land that determines who's right. It's who stays in the land that determines who's right. We're all going to experience miracles. We're all going to experience the power of God. But it's who commits to this thing for the long haul that determines who's listening to the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's who stays in this that determines who's right. Somebody came up to me several years ago and they said, Brother Jackson, you don't understand. Overseas, we see the blind that eyes open, the deaf ears come unstop. He said, overseas, we see demons cast out in service all the time. And he began to brag to me about all the miracles and things that they see across the waters. I asked him a question. I said, sir, do they backslide there? He said, yeah. I said, that lets me know that a miracle can't keep anybody. Hello. Hala mohosetaya. I said, a miracle can't keep anybody. God only performs miracle to lead them to him. The only reason he opens blinded eyes is to lead you to the person that opens the blinded eye. He does not do it just to do it. He does it to lead you to his word. If you get a miracle from the Lord, but that miracle doesn't lead you to God, your miracle is incomplete. The miracle isn't completed until you come into relationship with him. You know how many people I've seen blinded eyes open and never come back to church? And that's what
That's what that rich man said. He said, send Lazarus to my brother so they can see a miracle and they'll believe. And he said, no. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the word. And if they don't believe the word, even if they see a miracle, they will not believe. What am I saying? The miracles are supposed to lead to the word, because it's my word that I hid in my heart that I might not sin against it. It is the word that keeps me when I'm down. It is the word that keeps me when I'm battling. It is the word that I have to get in my spirit over momentary supernatural experiences. But what happens is that people receive a miracle and they build a tabernacle on the miracle. Where the miracle is not the destination, it's a part of the journey to the word. But they build a tabernacle around the miracle without becoming like Christ and his word. That's where you get the charismatic movement. They get all the miracles and signs and wonders, but they do not become holy like him. And they do not become, come on somebody, I want all of God, not just a part or a byproduct of God. I want the word in my heart because I want longevity over a momentary experience. Matter of fact, the greatest miracle you can receive from God is God himself. Boy, I feel like preaching. I said the greatest miracle you can receive from God is God himself. God told Abraham, Abraham, I am your exceeding and great reward. Isaac, your promise is not your reward. I'm your reward. I just use your promise as an incentive for you to discover me. God gives you a promise for the sole purpose to use it to lead you to him. Because he is greater than every miracle. He is greater than every promise. He is greater. The greatest gift that God can give you is himself. And those Levites, they didn't get a possession in the promised land. He said, look, Levites, I know you're working in ministry, but you don't get anything in the promised land. He said, you don't get an inheritance. Look what he says. Because I, the Lord, am your inheritance. And I am so great, you don't get any material possession. And I promise you, you won't complain because you get me. And I am greater than any possession. I am greater than any. That's how you're going to stay in this, because there's too many people that fail God because they just get disappointed for not seeing their call come to pass, and they get disappointed because somebody died that they prayed that God would make them live, and they get discouraged when they don't get their promises and they quit God. But whenever you live for God, for him, even in the midst of disappointment, even in the midst of battles, even in the midst of struggles, I got my treasure, and my treasure is him, and he is keeping me. Your treasure cannot be your calling. Man, I feel like preaching to somebody. Your treasure cannot be an answered prayer. He has to be your treasure, or you can't make it. You'll live disappointed. That's what Moses said. He is your length of days. He is your length of days. When God wanted to change the world, you know what he did? He just wrapped himself in a body. In a manger. God looked at the heavens and the earth. He looked at the stars. He looked at the sun. He said, I'm looking for a gift to give to mankind because I love him. And I can't find anything greater than me. So I will roll myself in a body. And I will come in a manger. And I will die for their sins. Because that is the greatest gift that I can give them. It is me in another form. And then after he died, God said, I want to give him another gift in Acts 2. I want to give them the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ. I'm just giving them me all over again in a different way. Every time you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, that is God on the inside of you. He just gives you himself. When you get discouraged, he just gives you himself. When you have suicidal thoughts, he just gives you himself to help you deal with those suicidal thoughts. Come on. When you feel like a failure, he just gives you himself to help you understand that you're more than a conqueror. When you feel disqualified, he just gives you himself and his blood qualifies you to be what he has called you to be. That is the greatest gift that you can receive from God. It is God himself. He said, the one who stays, that's what determines who's right. It's those that can commit for the long haul. Those that can count the cost. He said, if you don't count the cost and you begin to build a building and realize you don't have sufficient funds to build the building, he said, you're going to be a laughing stock. He said, you have to count the cost from the beginning before you commit to it. Can I tell you, that is how you're going to survive. That is how you're going to thrive. When you count the cost and say it's worth it. Can I preach to you? It's worth it. It's worth living for God. It's worth every tear that may come on the journey. It's worth every betrayal that may come on the journey. It's worth every critique, every criticism. It's worth every, come on somebody. Hey, don't you throw your walk with God away because a relationship failed. Don't throw your walk with God away because your boyfriend broke up with you or your girlfriend broke up with you. Don't throw your walk with God away because you got hurt in your church. Come on somebody. Hey, why don't you just get commit for the long haul and say, I'm staying in this thing because that is the blessing and the treasure of staying put in the kingdom. It's the treasure of endurance. Those that make the most impact are those that stay the longest. I feel like talking to somebody. Can I tell you, before I ever got in church, whenever I went to church, my first service, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. After I received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you know what? I came from an educated background. So you know what I did after going to two services, and these people were looking like the real thing. You know what I did? I went home. I printed off 100 pages. Research on oneness Pentecostalism, 100 pages of studying oneness Pentecostalism, because I was trying to see if there was some chink in the armor. I was trying to see if this was just a man-made doctrine. I was trying to see if this was just some human thing. And after 100 pages of study, I looked front and back. I closed the research paper. I said, you know what? The only way I can disagree with oneness Pentecostalism is I'd have to disagree with the Word of God. And I'm not going to disagree with the Word of God, so I'm selling out. I'm giving everything I have to this because I counted the cost before I ever sold out. I said, you can run me. You can't run me away. You can slap me before I come up to the pulpit. I'll still have a smile on my face and preach the word, because I'm in this for the long haul. Come on, somebody. You can do what you want to do. I've already made up my mind a long time ago. With all the trials and suffering, this treasure is still worth holding on to, despite all the pain that may come my way on the journey. I said, you got to have a made up mind from the beginning. Whew. I said, you got to have a made up mind before you leave camp, because the devil's going to throw just the right thing at you to try to throw you off track from your commitment. But you got to make up your mind. Whatever the mountain, whatever the valley, I press on in the name of the Lord, because that is the greatest treasure that I'm going to be here next year. That is the greatest treasure. I'm going to keep on showing up to youth service. That is the greatest treasure. I'm going to keep on showing up to midweek Bible study. That is the greatest treasure. I'm going to keep showing up to that P7. I'm going to keep showing up to that CMI. I'm going to keep on showing up to Sunday revival. I'm going to hear my pastor preach, and I'm going to hear him preach again, and I'm going to hear him preach again, and I'm just as excited, come on, from the first day I was in church to this day, because that is the treasure of staying with it. Come on, Mahata. That's how you're going to make it. Yes, when you stay with something and you don't receive things that you would like immediately, sometimes it can be discouraging. But it reminds me of Acts 1, whenever Judas had already failed God, and there were only 11 apostles. Peter stood up after a prayer meeting, and he said, look, guys, we have only 11 apostles. We're looking for one more person to become an apostle so we can become 12 apostles. Look what he said. There's the qualifications for you to become an apostle. We're just looking for somebody that's been here since the time Jesus was baptized until now. And the lot fell on Matthias, and Matthias became an apostle, and his only ingredients was he was still there, and he may not preach well like everybody else, but there's some faithfulness and stickability in him that God could not pass up, because he made a decision to stay. How long are you willing to wait in your process for a timeless treasure? Matthias waited for 3.5 years to become an apostle. And even if they never gave it to him, he would still made up his mind, I'm still here. They waited 10 days in the upper room for that treasure. Hello? How long are you willing to wait in prayer? What is your time limit? Is it 30 minutes in an altar call? Is it an hour? How long would you wait to receive something from heaven? Well, you'll never doubt the hand of God again. Well, you'll never doubt the manifestation of his glory again. Well, you'll never doubt the call of God again. Like someone said, it takes many years to become an overnight success. I feel like preaching. Meaning, you saw them one time. But you know how many years of labor and fasting and prayer, and to you, they're new. But to God, God said, no, he's been doing this for decades before you ever knew his name. Come on, somebody. Just because it's new to you doesn't mean they're new to God. And what you may see is an overnight success. God sees some years of labor and prayer and faithfulness that nobody here witnessed.
Hello, I'm preaching to somebody right now.
The treasure of endurance. I'm tired of flashing the pans. I'm tired of shooting stars. I'm tired of people being on fire for 5 years and then you don't see them for 2 years and they come back the seventh year, eighth year on fire again. I'm tired of just shooting stars and having emotional responses alone without making a commitment in your heart and in your mind. Come on, you got to leave this place with a commitment. You got to leave this place saying, for God I live or for God I die. I don't care what laws else they pass in the United States. I am committed, and let God be true and every man be a liar. I am committed to something that's eternal. I am committed to something that I shall not doubt. I am committed to something that I do not fear. I am committed to something that I give my all to, and I cleave to this.
The five wives and foolish virgins, they were already wise or foolish before the journey ever started. Before the journey ever started, God had already said five are wise and five are foolish. Before the journey started. Why? Because before the journey began, some only brought a little oil and the others brought a whole lot of oil. And it wasn't on the journey that they became wise or foolish. No, it was if they counted the cost or not before the journey started. And this, I don't know how far the journey is. So I'm going to stack up on all types of oil. But the other ones thought, come on, it could be just one altar call that could keep them for the rest of their life. Just a little oil. But they found out, come on, somebody, you need to purchase as much oil. You need to get as much oil because you never know when you're going to need it. That widow that only had a pot of oil, my Lord, she only had a pot of oil, and we miss what she said. She said, my husband was a son of the prophets. And she said, and we've lost everything, and the creditors coming for my sons. And she said, all we have is this pot of oil. And the prophet said, go get that oil and borrow a few vessels. And the oil just kept on pouring until the vessels, there were no any more vessels. But here's what we miss about the story. We miss about the story of the husband. The husband was a son of the prophet. Those sons of prophets would carry oil with them. And what that prophet said is, I don't have any money to leave behind to you. I don't have any furniture. I don't have any relishes. I don't have any relics. I don't have anything to leave behind to this generation coming. All I've got is a pot of oil. And it may not look much to you right now, but there's going to come a moment of need, and it's going to preserve, and it's going to come on somebody. When you come to service, you make up your mind, if I don't leave with anything, just give me the oil of endurance to meet all of my needs. I wish somebody would clap if you hear what I'm preaching. I wish somebody would lift up their voice if you hear what I'm preaching. Just give me the oil.
He said, I've got nothing left to leave behind. I spent my whole life in the ministry, and I have no material substance to show for it. But I got a little pot of oil, and I'm going to leave it to my wife and my family. And you're going to need this one day when the devil comes knocking on your door. There is something that is sustaining you, that is keeping. Just give me the oil. I said, just give me the oil. Just give me the oil so I can endure. Just give me the oil so I can make it. I don't need much. I don't need a fancy title. Just give me the oil. I'll pay for the oil. Just give me the oil. I give my life for the oil. Just give me the oil. That's the only thing that's going to help me. That is one of my treasures. That is one of my treasures of endurance. It is one of my treasures that... The oil is the only distinction on the apostolic movement from every other place. It is the presence of God that sets us apart from every other false doctrine. It is the minute we try to be more professional, come on somebody, where we say, no, we can't get the oil. Let's just work on the vessel. Let's get the vessel so perfect, even if we don't put anything in it. Let's get the vessel perfect. Come on somebody, let's just work on your vocal cords so you can sing with talent. You don't need the oil. Just sing with talent and ability. Let's get the piano playing just perfect. You don't need prayer and fasting. Let's just get the vessel perfect. We don't need the oil. When the preaching becomes so educated and professional, and we get it all, the nuance is just right, but the vessel's perfect, but there's no oil. Can I tell you, we're gonna blend in with every denomination if we don't keep the oil in the house. We better make up our mind. I'll have talent, but more than talent, give me the oil. I'll have preaching, but more than preaching, give me the oil. I'll sing the best that I can, but just give me the oil so the power of the Holy Ghost can break chains. Give me the oil so I can endure. Give me the oil. The woman underestimated the oil. All I've got is a pot of oil. All I've got is an anointing. All I got is the right doctrine. Whoo, shalom mahaya. All I got is holiness. And the prophet said, that's enough for me to do something in you and do something in your family. Don't ever overlook the oil. I wish somebody would just take a praise break for the oil right now. Come on, if you've never clapped, you need to clap. If you've never shouted, you need to shout. If you've never danced, you need to dance. Hebo shetaya. Heramakaya. Hiraba 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 Come on, you don't have to be afraid of being elevated. You just make sure you have the oil when you're elevated. You don't have to be afraid of being used by God. You just make sure you have the oil when you're used by God. I come to preach against the fear of failure. Stop equating success with failure. You just cleave yourself to God and the oil, and He will keep you on your journey. He will, the bridegroom will come for you and keep you, because you have what He's looking for. My God. Boy, I'm overflowing right now with the Holy Ghost and with revelation. But I feel the Holy Ghost prompting me for you to grab the person's hand next to you right now. Everybody needs to link up with somebody. The Lord just spoke to me that the oil is about to flow from the front to the back. And some and needs are about to be met. The oil is about to flow from vessel to vessel to vessel. And the oil will not stay. The oil will not be. The oil is going to continue to flow. There's enough vessels here for the oil to flow into it. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice and pray for the oil to come on. Come on, somebody, keep on praying. You will not backslide like your mama backslid. You will not backslide like your daddy backslid. You will not backslide like that person you looked up to, like they backslid. The oil shall keep you. The oil shall preserve you. The oil shall take you to an, I wish you would pray like a radical apostolic. I wish you would pray like you know God is using you. I wish you would pray like you know you have an anointing. I wish you would lift up your voice and intercede, because you know the oil is on. You shall not fail. You shall not fail. You shall not fail. You shall not fail. You hear a prophetic word in the Holy Ghost right now. You shall not fail. You shall not fail. You shall not fail. The oil is sufficient. The oil is enough. The oil is abundant. You shall not fail. You shall not fail. I wish somebody would receive a word from the Lord right now. I wish somebody would get it in their spirit. You shall not fail. You shall not fail. You shall not fail. come up here, Brother Gully. Brother Gully, come up here as quick as you can. Come up here as quick as you can. My God. Stand right there, Brother Gully. I'm telling you, the gift of prophecy is on me right now. Lift up those hands, Brother Gully. I'm telling you, the gift of prophecy is on me right now. The Lord said, you shall not fail. And the people that you used to look up to that have failed has put a fear in your heart to be great. And every time you get used, you want to repent because you're afraid that you're going to fail God like they failed God. But God said, you are submitted to apostolic authority. Therefore, the oil is flowing down on you now. And you shall not be afraid to be great. You shall be everything that I said you shall be in the name of the Lord. I wish somebody would lift up your voice if you receive that. I feel a prophetic anointing sweeping over this. God said, you've been hesitant. Every time you get up to preach and the oil starts flowing on you, you get hesitant. You want to draw back because you're like, God, I can't be that great. I'm going to fail if I'm that great. But God said, tell Jared Gully to trust the oil that I put on him, and I will not let the oil lead him to his destruction, but I will lead him into his deliverance. Tell him, be not afraid. Tell him, be of good courage. God said, I loose you now to be what I said you will be without fear. I wish somebody would lift up their voice if you feel a witness. Come on, speak in tongues where you are. Somebody speak in tongues. Come on, this is getting into your spirit. Just keep speaking in tongues. Your spirit is bearing witness to this word. Just keep on speaking in tongues. Lay your hands on somebody near you right now. I want you to lay your hands on someone near you right now. And I want you to pray and tell them. I want you to look at them and tell them right now. Lay your hands on them right now. I want you to look at them and tell them with the prophetic boldness from the Spirit on you right now. I want you to tell them you are going to make it. 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 Now lay your hands on them. Hebel Shattaya. And begin. Hikabo terebekaya.